Why did Jesus need to be baptized? Why did he need baptism? If we believe that God is the Son of Jesus is the Son of God and had no sin, then why in the world did he need to be baptized? John the Baptist realized that it was a little bit out of order. He said, "I'm not fit to baptize you. You should be baptizing me." So why was it that Jesus didn't say, "You know, you're right. You're right. Kneel down and I, Christ, will baptize you, the baptizer." If he had, it would have been just fine. In fact, there's probably a lot to be said for that scene itself. But that scene never happened. Jesus said, "No, to fulfill all righteousness, it's to be this way, for him to be baptized." And so why is it that Jesus was baptized? Well, as we like to say in the church, it's a mystery. So there you go. I'll go sit down now. But more specific than that, it's a nuptial mystery. A nuptial mystery, meaning of marriage. Nuptial meaning of marriage. The Catechism of the Catholic Church, this little book here that's just full of all kinds of stuff, 1617. I'll read it, but then I'll explain it, because it's like, what are you talking about? The entire Christian life bears the mark of the spousal love of Christ and the church. Already baptism, the entry into the people of God, is a nuptial mystery. It is, so to speak, the nuptial bath, which precedes the wedding feast, the Eucharist. Christian marriage, in turn, becomes an efficacious sign, the sacrament of the covenant of Christ and the church. Since it signifies and communicates grace, marriage between baptized persons is a true sacrament of the new covenant. Now, what in the world does that mean? Well, when Jesus got into that water, he didn't have to. He didn't have sin to be cleansed away. He didn't need to be adopted by God because he is God. He got into that water to produce children, to allow for the production of children. Not in the way in which man and wife bear children, but in the way in which Christ and his church bear children. In our earlier reading, it says that God shows no partiality. God has no partiality. God doesn't care. Well, God cares because that's the way God made you. But God, it doesn't mean that God loves you more if you're male or female. God doesn't love you more if you're black or white, slow or brilliant, athletic or me. God, it doesn't matter. God's love for each of us is perfect. And the only thing that changes that in a paradoxical, mysterious kind of way is that God's love is more perfect for those who at the time need more love. Sin. God's love is more perfect for those who are separated from God because they are in need of more love. But that doesn't mean that God's love for the rest of us is less perfect. It just means God's love for the sinner is more perfect. It's a mystery. How can that be so? I don't know. She has come to tell us. When we are baptized, especially as infants, we don't spend any living memory without being an adopted child of God. We know who our parents are from the very beginning. We know that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We know that through our families, by being brought up in the church. But it is true, it is a reality from the very moment of baptism. No child, no middle-aged person, no elderly person has to wonder, am I deserving of now being called a child of God? Because there's nothing that we can do to deserve it. We are children. Our decisions don't make us worthy of being called children of God. We are but children of God. And so why not baptize Logan? Why not baptize those who otherwise have done nothing to deserve to be called children of God? So that from this very moment forward, Logan and all those who have been baptized may know that they are adopted children of God. To know that we are loved and loved perfectly is one of the most difficult aspects, I believe, of the Christian life. Because any one of us can make a list as long as this aisle for reasons why we shouldn't be. But that list, compared to God's love, is nothing. It doesn't matter. We are made children of God so that we can look up into the sky and hear that voice of God if our hearts are open to it. You are my beloved son, my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. Christ didn't need to hear that either. Christ didn't need to receive the Holy Spirit. He was already in perfect union with the Holy Spirit. Christ didn't need to be reminded of the perfect love that the Father has for him because he's in perfect union with the Father. He gave this to us. He made the water capable, empowered the water through that mystery to call us into this understanding. So that through the water, through the Holy Spirit, we may be called children of God. He stepped into that water to conceive within it children, sons and daughters of the Most High, of which the vast majority, through our baptism, are just that. We welcome Logan today and the three who will be baptized tomorrow as a continued remembrance to us of that. So we can see in Logan someone God loves just as much as he loves us. But more importantly, I think, that God loves you just as much as he loves Logan.